Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. Oh my God.
Okay. I am Dylan McDowell.
I'm Connor McDowell. Dylan, since we last recorded, there is something pressing that we have to discuss.
Okay.
Something that's been on my mind, a world that I've been stuck in, and it feels like a vortex that I can't get out of.
So for the listeners, we want to make sure that everyone knows that Connor and I do live together, but we have been, since starting the podcast, we haven't been speaking in person as much because we want to save fresh topics for the podcast, which is very hard being twins who
text all day,
shared the womb.
Talk all day. We are just constantly in touch. Even, you know, what I'm about to talk about, we did watch together.
We did, but we decided we would save commentary for now.
Yes. And we're not going to, no spoilers, but we have been binging Netflix's The Politician,
which our guest might not have watched yet. Okay, great.
Okay, so
we're never in spoiler zone.
We are, you know, Broadway fanatics. We are lovers of life and drama. And ooh, baby. This show is wild.
I mean, it's Ryan Murphy.
It's Ryan Murphy. So if you can imagine Glee and American Horror Story meets Scream Queens meets, honestly, the budget of Netflix. Like, the budget is crazy.
Yeah, like House of Cards level
House
budget.
House of Cards level budget. You have The Politician. And, of course, it stars Broadway favorite Tony winner Ben Platt, aka one of the former loves of my life. I can't get into it right now.
We might think that you are blacklisted from all Dear Evan Hansen related social media sites.
Right. But anyway, other than that, it's really fun and fully crazy. But
I mean, you have Zoe Deutsch playing.
Well, you don't know spoilers. Yeah, okay.
But this
sickly
voice
girl
that she uses.
It's distracting.
She talks like this the whole time.
It's like a woman in a pornographic film trying to act like she's like very innocent but naughty.
Oh my God. Okay. This is like mildly spoilery. But it does star, well, co-star, one of my favorite queens who I maybe problematically stan, one Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm.
Queen. I love her. She is an Emmy winner, a Golden Globe winner, an Oscar winner, and she has won almost every award she's been nominated for. So like, even in the you know, every time she's nominated, she almost wins. I think there was one Golden Globe she didn't get.
What was her Emmy for?
It was for guest actress in a comedy for Glee, for playing the iconic Holly Holiday. Oh my God. And our guest is making a face. Our guest is making a face like, oh my God. But
with her catchphrase, I thought you'd never ask.
Yes. Oh my God.
A legend.
Amazing.
The thing about Gwyneth Paltrow is I feel like she's sort of retired from acting, and then she'll appear in these different things like the Marvel Universe, which we all know she's not really even sure if she's in that or not.
Queen.
But I'm convinced that she knows she was in The Politician.
She knows. Well, because her husband is one of the writers or executive producers.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she's so great. And they like want you to know that she's not Gwyneth. Like, she's like smoking in one scene.
Which we know Gwyneth would never.
Oh my God. And she's also wearing like fabulous red rose colored gowns while she's clipping roses in her garden and just like holding college letters for her son, who is Ben Platt. But anyway.
So do you like the show so far? We're a couple episodes in.
I love it. Oh my God. It's a great binge. There's really cute boys in it, which is honestly mostly what I care about at all times.
A lot of Broadway favorites show up, like Laura Dreyfus.
Oh, oh my God. But also, they have Ben Platt inexplicably singing in a show that's about his like inexplicable political ambition. So it's all that. It's all fun. Oh my God. I love it. I'm being silly, but it's great. It's really great.
You love the Murphyverse. You'll love it. You know, you mentioned earlier that Gwyneth was wearing a red gown and a hat and gloves while gardening.
Yes.
And I feel like that's something that our guest would wear. They are performing household chores.
Yes.
Today
yes.
We have someone who by day is the A&R director and executive of Broadway Records, and by night is a cabaret king.
Mm.
Someone who has been lauded by critics and friends and fans alike as being funny.
Yes.
In fact, I believe there's a quote that says he's funny.
He's funny.
Oh, you heard a little sample of him here. So put your hands together for our guest,
Robbie Rozelle.
We need to come in really fast with Ben Platt is playing a 17-year-old.
Yes. He's made a career off of it.
Honestly,
he's
a reach.
42.
In some ways, he is. And in other ways, he's...
Like, he's Benjamin Button, right? Just, he's 900 years old, but playing a high school junior? Because don't you apply for colleges in your junior year?
I know. That's where it gets, like, complicated.
And he's... We have our first tongue pop.
The first tongue pop of drama.
Wow. Also, I'm a cabaret queen.
Oh, sorry. I didn't want to misgender your title of the nightlife. We might even call you a nightlife icon.
I don't like to brag, but I am an institution. What just happened?
Nothing. I'm just
your microphone.
Getting comfortable with my microphone.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Robbie, so listen.
Okay, guys.
I have an important question for you. Are you well?
I am unwell.
Oh, honestly, yeah.
That's a gag.
I'm unwell.
Give us details as to why.
Guys, I made a sojourn last night.
Okay.
To the L. Hirschfeld Theater. And I saw a musicale, spectacular, mm-hmm. called Moulin Rouge.
Oh. Because you can.
I wish I didn't.
Oh, no!
I am shaking.
I can't.
Tell us, what did you think?
I went in. Oh, I was ready.
Yeah.
Bitch was ready.
Well, I know famously it's one of your favorite movies.
Oh, God. It's that movie? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like... Do you ever see a musical and just wish that it was given Ritalin? ADHD. Oh, there it is.
I think one.
Okay.
Which one?
I think American Idiot.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the one first one that comes to mind that needs just a full prescription.
All of it. Truly, it's just you open the medicine cabinet and it's just American Idiot. That's sort of how I felt about Moulin Rouge. I kept getting slapped in the faces. In the faces, because I have multiple.
The mirror has two faces.
that's an iconic film. Mm. So... Just nothing was landing because they would jump from thing to thing. Like, you never settled into anything.
That's fair.
And so I walked out of it exhausted. Mm. And, like, I needed trail mix. Yeah. Just, like, to get me through.
That's why we had to push back our recording today.
It's nearly 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I don't even want to have sex and eat bacon for 3 hours.
Too much of a good thing?
Truly, yeah. And there were things I loved. Danny Burstein is brilliant.
Will he win his Tony?
I think, God.
It is MC.
From your damn lips to God's ears.
Yes.
God.
Yes, God. Not on tonight. But, like, there was a lot that didn't work for me.
Okay.
And that hurts me.
Now, what did you think of Ms. Olivo?
I think she's a wonderful singer who's miscast.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you are a tried and true film lover.
Yeah.
So do you prefer your Satine a little bit more reserved? Is that what you think?
No, I think Satine needs to be a broken bird. And I think that Karen Levy, I think she's just too strong. Mm. Yeah, you know what I mean? And like when you have that healthy belt.
Oh.
And like you saw it, right?
Oh, yes.
You guys saw it.
Oh, girl, we did.
Guys, when she sang Firework,
I know.
It's a
gag. First of all, we live in a world where Firework is an I want song on Broadway.
The only world I want to live in.
Truly. But I was like, oh, you're not a broken bird. You're fine. Like, you're truly dying of nothing.
Because she knows that she has everything that she needs to be successful, but she's sort of held back by her circumstances.
I guess. But when I saw Casey Levy in Les Mis, she was like Fontaine with Obamacare. She looked healthy.
Oh my God.
She was not dying. Girl, sell your hair. It's going to grow back. Everything's fine.
Fontaine with Obamacare.
That might be the title of the episode.
She was incredible.
Oh, so good.
She would have been great in Moulin Rouge.
Actually, brilliant casting.
Or like Betsy Wolf.
Also great.
We love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we've talked about this before. Dylan
like
and I have.
Lindsay Mendez.
Oh, I mean, there you go.
I'm not in casting, but
that's one of the things that I'm excited about. If the financial success of Moulin Rouge keeps it running for a while, hypothetically, we could have these iconic Broadway divas, these iconic Broadway stars playing Satine and even Christian.
Hopefully, though, like people who spark chemistry. between each other.
Okay. That is a, now, that's a criticism I hear.
In Boston, when we, which, because, you know, it's no secret to the listeners that I am an Aaron Tveit stan.
That's Dylan's all.
Someone once asked me if I was a Tveit or Tot, and I said, oh, I'm the whole potato.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tveit or Tot. This is like...
I'm not so, well.
I thought that they, well? they... Their chemistry wasn't as strong in Boston because we ended up seeing an early preview because the set or something damaged in the Colonial and they had to delay the run. And by the time we saw it almost a year and a month later, I thought they... It was a quick turn. It was very like bombshell to Broadway timing with how fast it came.
Hit list came and went.
Yeah, exactly. Literally.
Wait, what was Hit List if Moulin Rouge is bombshell?
I feel like it'll be the Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the rock, the edgy rock musical that nobody knows what the
or
plot
six?
Is.
Wait, oh, wait. We I recently learned on Ilana Levine's podcast, Catherine Gallagher.
Ilana Levine.
Yes. Catherine Gallagher described the plot of Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, my God. I was shaken to my core.
I was like, what is this? Well, it's great, but it's almost like they're not telling you what it is.
Exactly. So it's Hit List.
It's Hit List. Okay, anyway, back to Dylan.
So their chemistry between Satine and Krista had grown. And I can tell because, you know, as a devout Tveit or Tot, Aaron and Karen have grown close in real life. And you can just tell that chemistry is stronger. But I don't know if it's as romantic as I want it to
no,
be.
No, it's not. Like, it needs, like, because it's like the ultimate love story, right? That's what they're selling. And was I buying? No, she wasn't buying.
He'll move on after Satine, I guess.
Listen, he's my goal weight.
Oh.
I want that jacket. I would wear that jacket everywhere. Robin Herder. Can we talk about
Robin Herder?
A second.
Who is consistently turning out performances.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
her,
my God.
The way that her leg, I mean, she does a full... Her body becomes just a single straight line.
She's Anne Reinking and dancing.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ooh, Anne Reinking would have played that role.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Satine, we need to talk about it.
Wait, are you saying that Gwen Verdon would have played Satine?
Ooh, yeah.
She would have.
Oh, Can-Can.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, like she did on Broadway in Can-Can.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Thank you.
I saw that her first scene in Fosse Verdon when she was called back down.
Like 100 times though. Mm-hmm. Remember they kept showing her taking her one night bow.
Yes.
And can't, God, and not in the Ryan Murphy universe, but definitely felt like it wasn't it?
Murphy like
adjacent.
If you told me it was a Ryan Murphy project, I would have believed you.
It was like the Park Place next to Boardwalk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait. Also Moulin Rouge. I have to say. The boys.
Oh, I mean, I put it in.
The men.
Oh, the
Every
men.
Every single one.
Oh, my God.
I love that they're going with this, like, non-gender conforming costumes. Uh-huh. Like, in the opening scene, like, they've all got, like, mesh and bustiers.
I mean, that first boy who came out last night and was like, there's, like, this, it's like a birdcagey thing up on top right.
I know. Listeners, can you please call us and tell us who that boy is?
Not in. His boyfriend. Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Brown.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's him.
I was like, wow.
It's
what kind of workout do you... Any, I guess.
And a moment of silence for Max Clayton's thighs.
He was out last night.
He was out.
Really?
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, yeah. People get sick. They're humans.
I guess.
Okay, well, you're going back to Moulin Rouge. To see Max Clayton, specifically in the backstage romance opening part of Act 2.
Oh, yeah.
He is...
He's
ooh,
Pierre?
Baby. No.
Oh, wait.
I don't know. He's just featured heavily. He's in the front. It's amazing.
Oh, same.
Now, you were pretty close up from the picture that I saw.
Yeah, I was row G on the aisle.
She a house seat queen.
She was close. Yeah, I kind of feel like, though... This is a show more appreciated from, like, the front of the mezzanine.
Okay, that's what we need to do next time.
There's a lot happening.
Oh, for sure.
Everywhere.
What would you say, like, your favorite number was, just as, like, a takeaway?
I really loved Firework because it was, God, it was fucking sung. But also, Bad Romance was stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Robin Herder.
Yes.
Amazing.
Why are we not talking about her all the time?
Well, she did. She's had like a bit of a renaissance. She was Cassie in the City Center chorus, which we missed. That was only like 3 nights.
Yeah, yeah. Those benefit concerts. Are you going to Evita?
I need to.
Yeah.
We loved Moulin Rouge, but I see what you mean. I understand your...
I just wanted less, which is something you never say.
Sure.
Also, it's in the wrong house, I think. It should be in like the Broadway theater, like a wider
theater.
Ooh, the
second person this week to say that.
Mm-hmm.
because it's like the set does come out, but if you were to be up in the mezzanine somewhere behind the elephant head, you would miss everything.
If you're not in premium seats, it's a partial view. Yeah.
And it's not worth it to pay the extreme prices for a partial view.
Truly.
That's another problem.
It's in the wrong house.
Yeah.
Listen, there were things that I liked very much, but overall I was like, let down.
Okay. And that's fair. That's okay to say.
It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be sad. It's, but like... At Broadway prices?
I know.
Yeah.
So now, where do you think, just because we are obsessed with awards and
awards gays.
Come next spring.
Sure.
Where do you think people are going to remember Moulin Rouge?
Danny Burstein and the sets and costumes.
Okay.
No Aaron, no Karen.
I have a feeling Aaron might continue his lucky streak of not being nominated.
He has been robbed of nominations twice. Mm-hmm.
He should have been nominated. Next to Normal for 4 months.
Right.
Yeah. And then he was wonderful in Catch Me If You Can, but Catch Me If You Can was not wonderful.
You're breaking my
heart. Why was he only Next to Normal for such a short time?
He got like another gig
away. It was to go and do Catch Me If You Can in Seattle.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. So he opened it. That was always planned.
Okay. I think his last performance was actually the day of the Tonys that summer. And then he went and did Catch Me If You Can in Seattle. And then... either the next season or the season after, he was back with Catch Me If You Can.
Right.
Interesting.
Which is my favorite musical.
Is it? Of all time?
I love it.
Do you enjoy the concept, like the TV concept?
That is the one thing that I think they either should have gone all the way with or not at all.
Because that family tree number.
It's bizarre. Ooh. The number's fun, but the fact that he's like, I'm Mitch Miller and we're going to do the... No. It's so weird because there's nothing else that fits in with it except for in Act One... Frank does an odd infomercial with Angie Schwarr and a few other favorites.
Yes, Broadway legends.
Rochelle Rack, who slays everything she sings in that show. But I think that it means a lot to me because as a young closeted gay man, I was obsessed with Aaron Tveit and I felt like I found it. I found Catch Me If You Can. And it was this like short-lived show, and I loved the album because I was a Hairspray devotee.
Yeah. Oh my
Just
god!
Just to me, like it had all the right ingredients, and I loved the father-son elements too.
That's the other thing; like the book and film both sing, and Hairspray is so brilliantly musicalized that I was like, "Ah, these guys are going to hit out of the park." And then when it didn't take because of that concept, more than anything. That hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt to see, especially because, like, it was all the Hairspray family. The director, Jack O'Brien and Jerry Mitchell were back. Like, everybody was back. And so that's devastating.
Shaman and Whitman, though, dropping one of the greatest scores
ever.
Ever. I mean, it is a beautiful album.
Hairspray.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Yes.
You're talking about Catch Me If You Can.
I am.
A lot of it's very good.
That the Live and Living Color and Someone Else's Skin.
But like Hairspray, every song.
I know, every song.
You get excited when those first notes start.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, it's Timeless to Me or Without Love.
Oh my God, every song.
Yeah, even just the...
woke up today.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Wow.
I didn't know that I needed a Roselle Turnblad.
I could actually open my show with that somewhere.
Wait.
Oh, wow.
I think you have a new opening number for your show.
I just want to do the entire Barbara Cook Kennedy Center medley. I was watching that last night after I got home.
You needed a palate cleanser?
Yeah. Also, I was this week years old when I discovered the Jimmy character medleys.
Oh my God.
And listener, I'm a man of a certain age who came up before the Jimmys were the new Michigan. And
oh my God.
Holy shit, they're so good.
They are so good.
They're like crack.
Yeah.
They're like a legal form of crack.
My favorite was when there's multiple people playing the same role.
Yes, Dolores Van Cotty. Yay! Yes. But, and then that girl sings like Astonishing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I know.
I was like, I don't know you, but I'm hearing you get a node right now. You're belting so high. This is incredible. Thank you for your service.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Now we have like two Jimmy's winners. Or finalists.
Yeah, because Ava Noblezada.
Oh, four.
Oh,
Ava. Yeah, Ava. Mm-hmm. Antonio Cipriano.
Uh-huh, heard of him.
Andrew Barth Feldman.
Yeah.
And Renee Rapp.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's the new Michigan. Where's the lie?
Broadway is college for these kids now.
And now they're working alongside legends.
In this business, I've definitely worked with people who...
Drama.
In my youth, I highly looked up to. And then in person, they were not what I built in my head or what they presented. What they presented.
Yes.
You know? Which is so interesting because this week I've made a very conscious choice to start living more authentically online.
I love that.
Oh, tell me about that.
I went through like a sort of like a quasi depression, I guess. Because, you know, it's 2019 and life's terrible.
Yep.
And the world's burning and, you know, constantly like tilting at windmills all the time to like try and save the world. And what do? I'm like sitting in a basement. It's true. Well, like, you can't save the world with just Jerry Herman songs.
We can try.
Yeah, truly. And I am. And that's my part. But like, also went into like a depression of like, what am I doing? Is it helping? Like, am I helping anything? What am I doing? And also at the same time, I've been working on my album, which is rough because I'm my own set of eyes and ears, and it's a live thing, so it's not perfect. You know, all that stuff. And trying to like find things to encapsulate it. And there were some projects that I had been part of, but sort of been marginalized out of that hurt me specifically. but things like that. And but you never want to show like on social media. It's not okay to be sad or to not despondent. But like sad or feeling left behind in ways. And I chose to just sort of put it out there and open myself up because I have a platform.
Absolutely.
Somehow, thank God, that people are interested in anything I have to say. That I wanted to be, I want to be, not wanted. I want, and I say this after having said I took a million photos of my Moulin Rouge playbill last night. So I do recognize that it's a, everything's a work in progress.
Yes.
But I want to be as real and as messy as life is and not as highly curated as, you know, people who are standing in a perfect pose with like a Buddha quote underneath or, you know, some twink in a Speedo who's just like, namaste, am I right? I'm sorry. You also sit on your couch and fart while you watch The Real Housewives.
Right.
Like,
right,
that's
right, right.
Real. So I miss sort of being like, because I grew up before social media. I miss being authentic and talking face to face with people. And again, I realize I'm saying this on a podcast where people are going to have it in their ears so they can look down on the subway into their phone and not be present.
Sure.
It's more, it's really about being present and more authentic, like honest.
Yeah. I love everything you're saying.
Thank you for
everything
sharing
you're saying.
That,
yes,
Robbie.
Thank you for sharing. It's very vulnerable.
Exactly.
It's hard. I was on in a Instagram, you know, going down a hole last night, just looking at all these different accounts of men and comparing myself to their success or their bodies or who's following who. And Ariana Grande follows this gay that I met through work, and I know this person in real life. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is the connection here? What's the disconnection here? And I love everything you're saying. I want to also find ways to have more authentic in-person conversations, which is one of the reasons we wanted to start a podcast.
Robbie, you've been in this business for a while now.
So long.
And you have persevered through it all. And I feel like you're in a career renaissance right now where you have multiple things blooming all at the same time. And it just goes to show that people like you who have stayed true to who you are, stayed true to your art, you've been kind. It all comes back to you.
Kindness is key.
Yeah.
It truly is because do you want to work with the bitch? Listen, I make cast recordings for a living.
Yes.
And I do cabaret on the side. All of those things you get paid with like a Chipotle gift card, maybe. Like you're not in it to make money. So do you want to spend your time, because time is a valuable currency,
yeah,
with somebody who's awful or somebody who just is a about kindness. Like, that's my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
My new philosophy. Yes. I haven't listened to her new album.
Oh, I love it. She is probably my number one queen.
Oh, do you want to know a story?
Please.
Yes. Hey, come please. On. Give us the drama.
Unless it's going to ruin her for me.
No.
Okay, good, good.
We're talking about Kristen Chenoweth,
yes,
of course.
Sorry. Yes. In 1999, I was here on a trip and I saw four musicals. I saw Ragtime, Chicago, Parades, Final Week.
Okay.
And Jorgen Man, Charlie Brown. And I was a stage door queen at the time.
Of course, we all were.
That's all we had. Social media wasn't a thing. So, like, I didn't know what a Kristen Chenoweth was. And so I was at the stage door after the show because she was incredible. And everybody came out. Everybody except for her. And I'm waiting. And the assistant stage manager leaves and goes off to, like, what's probably, like, Chopped or something now.
This was at the Ambassador?
Yes.
Okay.
And came back. And she said, who are you waiting for? And I was like, Kristen Chenoweth. And she goes, hold on a second. And she goes in. She comes back out. And she looks at me and says, follow me. Your name's not Eva Harrington, right? She led me up four flights of stairs to Kristen's dressing room. And there she is in, like, just pajamas. And she's like, she turned to me and said, you've been waiting out there all this time for me? Do you want an Oreo? A Pop-Tart? And she was the nicest.
Oh, my God.
She was so kind. Her dressing room was filthy. It was a sty. There was just shit strewn everywhere. I was like, you need to clear some stuff because you got a Tony coming. And she's like, don't say that. I almost knocked over my coffee.
I didn't know she was playing Pigpen. I thought she was.
Drama.
Oh my God, Robbie, I'm obsessed with this.
The kindest human. And then years later, the year of Wicked, mm-hmm. I was at the Tonys and I knew her, like, I knew is in quote, you know, heavy sure. air quotes, but sure. like we knew each other because of the business.
As it goes in
and
the business.
We walked over from Radio City to the party, which is at, it was at the ice skating rink, that area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fun.
Yeah, they rent out that entire bottom thing. So, like, everywhere.
Rockefeller?
Like, yeah, yeah, Rockefeller Plaza.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I saw Carol Channing bring her own Tupperware of salmon, and it was...
literally what?
A lot of stuff happened that night. I'll tell you a story about Debbie Allen in a minute.
Oh, my God.
Yes! We were walking together, and she's like, watch out for horse poo. These are Manolos. I was like...
You can take the girl out of Oklahoma.
You truly... But you can't take Oklahoma out of the girl.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
You are just blooming, Troye Sivan Bloom, with references right now. And I'm so shaken to my core.
You're
that
welcome.
You walked.
That warms my heart.
With so that Kristen you could Chenoweth. Run. Okay. Kristen Chenoweth, she truly threw the first brick at Stonewall.
Yeah. That also could be the title of this.
I'm crying.
That makes me so happy because sometimes, you know, we were talking about meeting heroes earlier. They say not to meet your heroes, but I feel like from everything I've heard, she is just...
She's lovely from tip to toe. Always has been.
Mm-hmm.
Always will be.
I want her back on Broadway.
It's going to happen.
Well, she'll be doing this fall at an undetermined date. She's going to be doing her For the Girls show.
Oh, right.
From her album.
But no, I have a feeling like a musical is coming again. She comes back like every 5 years or
yeah.
so.
Yeah. There's, I think she's attached to the Tammy Faye
27
Baker
musicals.
Thing. Literally.
Every day you read, you're like, Kristen Chenoweth is going to do Mame. Oh. Kristen Ooh. Chenoweth is going to do Whorehouse. Kristen Chenoweth's going to do Dolly. Didn't happen.
Oh.
Yeah. Like
that
all the time.
Been...
But the most recent I've heard are the Tammy Faye Baker, which is... Well, I've been announced for
and
like
that's
10
a David
years.
Yazbek, right?
Right.
Okay, wait, Debbie Allen.
Oh, Debbie Allen. So I sort of came to prominence in the 90s because I created the Carrie the Musical website, which Debbie Allen famously choreographed on Broadway. And when I met her at the Tonys, I was already talking to Glenn Close. It was a weird night.
I'm sorry,
y'all.
I think you dropped a couple of names.
I'm
going to
drop
there.
A lot okay, because okay. Sean's was there that night.
Oh, girl.
It was so much. Allison Janney, who I made her do Most Smartest at me. From Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh my God.
It's all I needed in my life. Frankly, I could die. I could walk out of this room today. I almost said theater. We're not in a theater. It's very glamorous in here.
Very much so.
A whiteboard.
And very calming blue walls.
Sure, yeah, yeah. I feel calm with you guys.
Oh, good.
Oh, great. God. Stop. So, talking to Debbie Allen, and it's open bar. It was the Tony party. It's an open bar. And we have opened it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we're just pounding them back. And I was like, oh, my God, Debbie Allen. And so I start talking to her about Carrie. And she's like, oh, girl, I have stories about Carrie.
Oh.
And she flipped over my very thick playbill from the Tony Awards, right. Flipped it over, grabbed a Sharpie, and on it wrote her name and phone number.
What?
Yeah. She was like, you need to call me because we need to talk about Carrie.
No. Listener, yeah. Listener, listen. Are you listening? Robbie is currently showing us the contact for Debbie Allen, including her phone number, which, you know, for out of respect, we will not read.
We're not going to read the number.
But like,
I'm gagged.
And as that's happening, Felicia Rashad walks over because that's her sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, where's that musical with Rebecca Naomi Jones and Ariana DeBoe? As the Allen sisters.
It's coming.
You're welcome. But she walks over with like a look of like, what the fuck? Like that smile, mm-hmm. but like Claire Huxtable.
Oh, yes.
Like
who's
she saying to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And the waitress comes by at the same time to clear things, and Debbie puts a hand over her drink and says, don't touch my vodka.
Oh!
Yes. Listener, I died.
Is that one of those, like, yourself, you leave your body?
Truly.
You can see it clearly
that
now.
The whole night. Because every legend that I ever worshipped, you know, like, I did not have friends growing up. I had cast albums and, like, the voices on those cast albums. Mm-hmm. So, like, and TV. So, like, listening, like, meeting these people and being in this industry, which yeah. is so stupid, like, those are the moments when you go, oh, my God, you are why. You're the reason, the vessel of why I do what I do. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what do you say to, like, Glenn Close or Debbie Allen? What would you say to Aaron Tveit?
I have.
Other than I have a poster from Company over my desk.
That he signed.
I know.
He just didn't know it was for me. I don't think so you could put name to face.
We did meet Aaron Tveit. We saw him play Fiero in Wicked. He did it with Carrie Ellis, who came over from the West mm-hmm. End, and Kendra Kassebaum, who yeah. was an iconic Glinda. Oh,
she
my God.
She was our requisite Glinda.
Yeah, we loved
she's
her.
Your litmus test?
I would say Katie Rose Clark mm-hmm. is probably our litmus test.
But Kendra was iconic. Yeah.
And who's your litmus alphaba?
Well, we saw Carmen Cusack do it on tour.
Oh, I bet she was wonderful.
And so I love something about every alphaba I've ever seen. I mean, I know you're very close with one
you're
of the most
so
iconic.
Diplomatic.
So diplomatic. I mean, listen, I remember being... I was in college. We saw Allison Luff play Elphaba, and I had no idea who she was. We kind of went in
the
cold.
Nope, she's not currently in The Waitress.
No.
She just left the
like
diner.
6 weeks. How do you get, like, I would love that contract.
Oh, I heard she was brilliant.
I would like health weeks.
Yeah.
I would like health insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Carrie.
Oh, yes, but she was.
Carrie Ellison.
Carrie Ellison. She was so good as Elphaba.
Yeah.
And she had Jen Gambetis as her Glinda.
Yeah.
Kurt Hansen was Fiero.
The ladies who have walked through that show and the men who mm-hmm. have walked through that show. It's
in the Fiero pants.
I mean, and those pants have changed through the years.
They have. Developed. They used to be better.
When I saw My Fair Lady, the revival, Norbert Leo Butz, I looked at him and I thought, oh my God, you've aged from Fiero into the wizard in 15 years.
Well, the beard didn't help.
Rapid.
All of it.
Yeah.
The beard, the bald spot, like all of it. And like, you know, the paunch that he had for the show.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, you've become the wizard. Please do a BB New Earth. Go back to the show in a different role.
Oh,
have we seen that for Wicked yet? Have we seen anyone go back as like Madame Morrible?
Julia Murney is.
Kristen Chenoweth always said she would go do Madame Morrible. Yeah.
Or in the movie.
Like
she would not do it on Broadway.
No.
I don't want to pause the Wicked talk, but right. You were talking earlier about how growing up, didn't have a ton of friends, but you did cast albums, which you cover in your brilliant live show, that she's now going to be preserved forever. Yeah. Songs from Inside My Locker.
Yeah, yeah.
But in those cast albums and all of those things, I would love to know like what the one thing was. Connor and I have been talking to our different guests so mm-hmm. far about something that you would understand without me even explaining it as your Ring of Keys moment.
Yep, sure.
But for theater.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Or art, the arts in general.
Truly, it was movie musicals mm-hmm. because I grew up very poor. So we couldn't afford to see theater. But, you know, CBS ran The Wizard of Oz every year around Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and The Sound of Music around Easter. And those were like, oh, those are my people. And then, like, in high school, I changed school districts. We moved. And there was like a sign, and like I was like an effeminate, I was, you know, like a femme bottom, or as we call it, a baritenor in the biz.
Oh my God. That's a new one for me, I have to say.
So, it was not great, mm-hmm. you know, because it was the end of the 80s, very early 90s, pre Will and Grace, pre Ellen, pre like visibility of any mm-hmm. kind. And like during the height of the AIDS crisis. So that's a lot to put on a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
But I saw a sign to audition for the High School Musical, and it was The Wizard of Oz. And I was like, oh, I could do that. I know that film. I got a lead because I play leads.
Yeah. She books.
I'm booked and blessed.
Yes. And now you were the lion, right?
I was the scarecrow.
The scarecrow.
Yeah. Okay. I was gangly. I was like a buck 20, maybe.
Okay. Male lead, the scarecrow.
Yeah.
He's the star of the three.
I mean, she turns to him and says, I'm going to miss you most of all. Yeah. So, sorry.
Do you read that as romantic?
No, I read that as, oh, you're my gay best friend.
Yes.
Truly.
We're the lion, the scarecrow, and the tin man, a bunch of queers.
Yeah.
They were all homos.
They were.
And that's probably the reason, wow, I'm just saying this out loud. That's probably the reason The Wizard of Oz like sticks with gay men, because it's all about people who are othered and looking to become whole.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to sob.
Wow, I'm living through this. I've never thought about it like that before.
No, I love that.
But that's also like why we like Judy Garland, because she's like a broken mm-hmm. thing. Oh, she would have been a great Satine.
Yeah.
Like in the 1930s. Can imagine.
Fairy are a firework.
With the vibrato finishing the lines. Wow.
But like, she was looking to be made whole. Mm-hmm. And we all are.
Yes.
So isn't that fascinating?
I'm going to sob.
You're going to go watch The Wizard of Oz tonight and be like, oh God, it's a queer story. I never thought of that.
This is an Oprah
moment. It's also about like a girl who finds color. Like she lives in a drab, black and white mm-hmm. world and finds joy and color and wonderful, fabulous things.
And that's a Ring of Keys moment.
Truly. Yeah. That was my Ring of Keys, The Wizard of Oz.
And that's would beautiful. You say Judy?
Yeah. There's nobody I love more than Judy Garland, mm-hmm. period. Actually, this is news. I think
breaking.
Mm-hmm, Bonnie Milligan and I are, I think we're going to launch a podcast that goes movie by movie, album by album, and episode by episode of Judy Garland's career.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I have chills.
Yeah.
That is going to be
what's like a
fabulous
title.
The Judy Garland Project.
Of course.
Yeah. Because like there's so much to cover mm-hmm. and like, there's ups, there's downs, there's like a lot of downers
mm-hmm. yeah.
And uppers.
Oh, girl. Okay.
On screen and off.
Truly. But there's also like problematic blackface mm-hmm. in some movies. And, you know, we're looking at them through like the prism of 2019, but they're made in 1939. Right. You know, like.
Well, I think that's fascinating to look at something in today's lens and also through the lens of 1939.
How do you talk about art that was made in an acceptable form of the time and sort of let go of judgments, but not
right.
because you have to hold on to your truths and ideals. It's really interesting.
Wait, I want to go back. We met Aaron Tveit and he was so nice. And I remember, you know, we had our mom or dad there to take a picture of us at the stage door with Aaron. And we wrote him a fan letter.
We were big on that.
We were big on this. Oh my
God. Snail mail. We'd send it to the
theaters. From the suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio, we would send these self-addressed stamped envelopes to the Broadway theaters with the stage door photo that we had taken. And we would say, we loved you in Wicked. You were amazing. And we were so, we thought we were so creative. We'd be like, your dancing through life transcended, you know, all other performances I could have seen. Like, truly, we thought we were like these little wordsmiths and, you know, very funny. But we wrote this letter to Aaron. And we had, I don't know if we actually sent the photo to him. No, we must have because he signed it. And then he wrote back on these two huge index cards.
Green.
These long, long notes. And it was just about how nice it was to meet us and he remembers us and that we should always follow our dreams. And it was wonderful. And it was like very straight man writing a thank you note because it was like a full index card and then three lines on the next one. And it was like, okay, he didn't budget his space well, but honestly,
oh,
so
that
sweet.
Is straight.
And he also sent
one like of those people write big happy birthday signs with a big H. Yeah.
Right. He also sent along a picture, like a glossy
of him in the pants.
With the
lantern.
Like the post, as long as you're mine, like the he hears calling in the night of Nessa Rose's moans. Memorable, like trip, like pushes through the wind or something like that.
I can't. How dare you?
I'm what so, her moans?
I'm crying.
she was undergoing some trauma.
You guys, so you're from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where? How did you discover the musicals?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, we're turning tables.
Oh my God, I'm so unprepared.
I wasn't prepared.
That's really kind of you. I think about this a lot, and some of our other guests have asked this too.
I'm so happy to be original. No. Just like writing a letter to a stage door.
Yeah. Very original. I would say for me, it was the Disney movie musicals growing up. Like that was like discovering
Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin,
Beauty and the Beast in particular.
Hercules.
We had all of them on VHS.
Yeah.
As every young cabaret male or female performer will say in the beginning of their set, there's actually a videotape of me dancing and singing along with the Disney movie playing. And I'm going to show it for you now. And then they'll intercut it with the rest
of the
cabaret.
So weird. I actually have never done that in any of the shows that I've done because I am, sickening.
But Disney was huge. We would watch the movies over and over and over and over again. And then, I mean, I don't really have memories of this, but our parents told us that we would then have them sit down in the living room. We would turn on the movie.
Act it out.
And act out the entire thing. Uh-huh. I mean,
there was two of us.
We were always more interested in playing the princess or, you know, one of those roles.
I would live to just see your entire bell sequence.
Oh.
We could do it now.
We could do it now.
Yeah.
Bonjour.
Yeah, great. Oh, my God. But Disney.
What was the first thing you saw live?
I have a memory of our dearly departed psychic grandmother taking us to a production of what I think was Peter Pan. And she was a very frugal woman of the Depression who would often steal fruit baskets and floral arrangements from brunches. And that's an aside.
Good for her.
She was very, Grandmother Martha.
She was thrifty.
I think of you now.
She's thrifty.
And
yes.
We were sitting on the aisle at a community
we
theater.
We stand a thrifty queen.
We do.
Dragon a dime.
I know. Dragon a dime challenge. And Captain Hook was walking down the aisle, and from his captain's hat, some feathers came out, and Grandma Martha reached into the aisle, grabbed the feathers, and said, "Put these in your pockets." And she forced us to hold on to the feathers. No clue where they are now, but I just remember being like, wow, this is real and tangible and exciting, and I feel like we're in the action.
What about you? You know, it's funny. I don't remember the first performance I ever saw live.
Mm-hmm.
What's the
first one, though, that stands out to you?
I know. We talk about this sometimes. I remember, we saw The Sound of Music we had just moved to a new city, and we saw The Sound of Music performed by the local high school.
Sure.
Completely taken with it. I mean, we'd seen the film, but mm-hmm.
But it's
just
so different.
It's different.
Yeah. So it is so different.
Yes, The Sound of Music live will attest.
Yeah. Well, that's
Baroness von Schreck.
And that's culture. That could be a whole podcast episode.
Truly. Oh, yeah.
They had Audra McDonald.
Yeah. Well, and Alana Shadow.
Right. Yeah. Right, Laura Benanti. I mean, it was crazy. But being in Cleveland, we had Playhouse Square, which is a huge conglomerate of theaters, and they would bring in the best of the best, you know, national tours that would come in.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of it, not everything. As we got older, we tried to see everything.
Did you guys know that you were always going to end up here?
That was always the dream. It was sort of a dream deferred. We wanted to do theater in college, but then ultimately, realized that because everything is so typed out, mm-hmm. we would be competing for the same role.
Oh, 100%.
As identical twins. And I remember thinking, I'm not cut out for this. Even in high school, one of us would get a lead and the other one would get like a supporting role, or we would both be in supporting roles that were never on stage together because it was so like, I mean, obviously there are successful twins in this business, but like not many. I think of those twins who were in the Hairspray movie, and they were, one of them was in Legally Blonde and one of them was in Hairspray on Broadway.
I truly have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, they're female twins.
Tiffany and something else.
Amber Thiessen.
Tiffany, Amber Thiessen. Forgive us for not remembering your names. We obviously took notice of these twins because we always were looking out for it. But
sure.
I think that I just didn't have the competitive drive.
Yeah, well, that's why I was not, that's why I never landed in the business. I was up for things, and I was like, you've seen me 8 times to play Mark. You're either going to, you know what I can do, or you're going to use me or you're not.
Yes.
Oh, you're going with a boy band member? Cool. I can do other things. And it wasn't until years later when I met, another name drop, but like an important one. I met Jan Maxwell, our dearly departed Jan Maxwell.
Yes.
And she was giving an interview that I was filming where she said, and she looked in the camera, he was, you know, the guy was like, so what advice do you have for young people these days? You know, that's the question that everybody asks somebody successful. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have?
Yeah.
And does anybody have advice? Jan Maxwell did. And her advice was, you have to create your own projects. Mm. You need to choose yourself, and then other people will choose you. And that's like my entire mantra. And that's why I started performing at all in like doing cabaret.
Yeah.
That I'm completely an accidental performer. I fell ass backwards into it. I don't know how I did it. I don't know why I have a weekly show. I do not know. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled. But I also always have managed to spin it into something that I would excel at. Mm-hmm. Like the show I do is not the show that was pitched to me originally.
Yeah.
Because I would not be good at that. But what I am good at, I spun and said, I would not, you know, I will always be upfront with somebody, Jen Tepper in this case, and say, that sounds like a great idea for someone. That's not what I can do well. But just riffing on, yes, and.
Yes, improv.
What if I do the Rosie O'Donnell show instead? And that seemed to really excite everyone
over at the
club because it's not anything else that's happening here in the city. So, and everything, the marketing for it, it's all been spun out of like this one light bulb of me choosing myself, and then other people starting to go, I want you in the room.
And the people who, because of your kindness, because of what this series is, have said yes to you.
Oh my God. I should not have the level of guests that I have.
Tony winners, Tony nominees.
TV stars. Donalyn Champlin.
Oh my God.
Crazy. Very excited. And making them do stupid things. Matt Doyle reading Patti LuPone tweets.
Oh my God.
Was there anything better on a 54 stage that week? No.
Either you were there or you weren't. What about this?
Great.
Theater related.
Uh-huh.
What is something like a rumor or something you've heard about an upcoming production or something like that that's coming this season?
Oh, well, I do know that the Roundabout did a reading of Parade recently with the aforementioned Ben Platt.
Oh, my goodness.
And Michaela Diamond.
How many gay gasps can you fit into one?
You can speak
reveal.
Dolphin now. I'm really proud of you.
Okay, this is good.
I tweeted that along with... So there were 3 rumors that I tweeted the same time. You're welcome, Diva Robbie.
This is the dose of drama.
Yeah.
This is what we want.
3 things. 1, the Roundabout was eyeing a revival of Caroline or Change.
Happened.
It's happening.
Okay.
2, the Roundabout, Ben Platt, Michaela Diamond Parade. And 3, Scott Rudin currently holds the rights to MAME that he wants to do with Toni Collette. Those are the 3 things. I know. Yeah.
I'm shook.
Yeah.
My jaw hit the floor.
Well, push it back up.
Hinge
there
it back.
Shows to do. Hinge it, girl. You not Jennifer Holliday.
Stop. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That is tea.
Mm-hmm.
So that remains to be seen.
I mean, One of three already.
And having seen the original Parade, we haven't had a revival, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I saw the original. It was stunning.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting to see people who were those ages, because they were very early 20s. And Carolee Carmello and Brent Carver were not.
Right.
It was very much like a politician situation.
Yeah.
This whole show is just about...
It is
a running theme.
From start to finish.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Because
this
were
is
like,
Netflix
I'm
promo.
Just literally talking about the politician. I have not seen it because I'm too busy masturbating to the Great British Bake Off.
Connor has been super
I've recently
show.
Become obsessed.
Are you watching the season?
Okay,
they
no.
They could do a calendar.
Oh my God. I actually started at... Like the very first season they have on Netflix, it's the beginning.
Yeah, which is season three.
Okay, I have one episode left.
Oh, one left. Bitch. You have so much to get through.
I know.
But they're airing the current season concurrently with them airing it in London, like the UK.
Yeah.
So like, their episode happens like Thursday night, whatever. We get it Friday. So I'm watching it along with like all my friends over there because I just, it's nice people doing nice things.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
You know what they win? Like a pie tin.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not
oh, wait,
for
really?
Money.
That's the prize.
And,
yeah,
they, and I love that they are these like
nice,
wonderful. Yeah. And the stakes are high, but for
are
them,
they?
Well, they feel like they have a lot to prove.
Because their croquembouche fell over?
Yeah.
No. But it's not like over here, like the reality show, like contestant shows like that are like cutthroat and kind
like
of
Big
mean.
Brother.
Oh, I did not watch.
Yes, which we have watched for 5 or 6 years
Did you
now.
Watch Tommy Brockle?
Of course. We love.
Oh, my goodness.
Truly the only person in the world who actually has that accent.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah. I think it's so hot, Tommy, if you're listening.
I mean, put it
it's like full listen. Newsy. It's like a full newsy thing
truly,
still to
I was
this
like,
day.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? He really stayed true to himself on Big Brother and was so nice. Everyone loved him. He was loyal.
Good.
He was a great player. I feel like I don't know him, but... That's an example of somebody who is living authentically,
yeah.
I think. Even in a game where you have to play the games, he still was someone that everybody loved and looked
he
to.
He would often like give shout outs to his Pretty Woman cast. Aww. Because obviously he was stuck in this house and did not know that it
Yikes.
Closed.
Oh, yeah.
In August. July? Yeah. August, yeah.
August.
I know, that was always really sad.
Such a sweetheart.
Just a nice human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like you, Robbie. We
please.
Adore you. We cannot thank you enough for everything you've done for us since... We both have been in this city.
Yes, for
and
years.
And I feel like we can have these conversations off the mic more
do.
Often
yeah.
than we already do because
My
you are just, you bring the energy.
Every time I come over to the club, I will go into the office just to see if you're there.
Aww.
Just to say hi.
And it's like the respite in the middle of my day that I need.
Well, yeah.
It's just, because, we, you know, this business is crazy. And there are, ever since we met, kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Just, we can laugh. We can talk.
Find ballast in a storm.
Yes.
And show business is a storm.
It is. And yeah. I feel like you have such a wonderful voice and things to say and share. And we can follow you. What is your social media handle?
It's at Diva Robbie, which
Diva
is just
Robbie.
A cautionary fable in branding. That was my screen name on AIM.
Oh.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This so, is breaking
like,
drama.
16.
Drama.
You need like a sound effect that just goes.
We, like you know, we have a theme song.
Law and Order. Boom, boom. Drama.
We do have a theme song that you'll hear.
I can't wait. Who
yeah.
wrote it?
My sweet boyfriend wrote the theme song.
Hunter?
Yes, Hunter, yeah.
And
you know,
we co-wrote
you.
Some of it.
Hunter with the hair.
That's right. You know, he is actually growing out a mustache currently. He's playing Gomez Adams in the
Can
Adams
Can we talk
family.
About mustaches?
I love
Connor's
them.
Super into them.
I love them. I know. Dark.
I'm not here for the 1980 Fire Island look.
That's like everything I want in a man.
Come to Tuesdays at 54
yeah,
with
time.
Robbie. Look out for his album to be released in sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Songs from Inside My Locker.
You guys should come sing some night.
Oh.
We would love to.
You should.
At some point. Maybe once you launch into the 2020.
Well, I have era. All of January. You
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
And ongoing.
We do a an anything you can do, a very twin parody.
I'm here for it. Listen, I once saw two twins who are now friends of mine at 54 sing a rewriting of Agony from Into the Woods called Applebee's.
That is amazing.
Who were they?
The Resignios.
I don't know them.
Paul and Robbie. Paul is gay. Robbie is straight.
Okay.
They do an annual Christmas show. That's the only Christmas thing I do every year because they're so funny.
Oh, I want to go.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Let's need to stick together in this city. So,
but they rewrote Agony to be like waiters at Applebee's.
Oh my God.
It was so fucking
That's
funny.
Brilliant.
Or as D.D. Allen would say, apples and bees.
Oh yes, from the prom. That's right.
The apples and the bees. Oh, apparently she went to Applebee's after the closing performance.
That is everything I ever needed to know.
Beth Lovell.
That's a dose of drama.
I feel like you and her could be siblings or like...
I feel like Brooks Ashmanskas and I
are like... Him.
If he won the Tony, I would have sued for palimony.
And on that note, all right, this has been Drama. Yes. Follow Robbie Rozelle at Diva Robbie on Twitter, on Instagram.
I'm everywhere.
He has a Facebook page as well. Come to Tuesdays at 54 pretty much every Tuesday this fall and into 2020.
It's ongoing. Like and subscribe to Drama.
Yes,
like that's right. Follow us on social media at The Drama Podcast.
Leave them reviews.
Follow me at Connor McDowell.
Ooh. Follow me at Dylan McDowell, and we will see you guys next Wednesday with another dose of drama.
Bye.
Drama.
Drama.
Bye.